Blog Talk Radio.
Back on live, man. PSA boys in the building. Y'all know the vibes, man. Stree and your boy Watts. Watts is popping, my G.
Yo, what's good, bro?
What's good, brother? What's cracking, man?
You know the vibe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's do something different here in PSA Hip Hop because, truth be told, man, people might look at us as an old head to hip hop that just concentrate on old heads. But truth be told, you and I kind of watch what's going on with the youth in hip hop, especially when we're both from New York City. Give me your opinion on how Brooklyn is looking now compared to maybe 2-3 years ago. When I'm talking about the young boys,
it's pretty, it's actually amazing to watch to see that the center of hip hop and the popularity of hip hop is coming out of Brooklyn. You know, when you look at the major radio stations in New York City, Power 105 and Hot 97, and you hear them play a lot of music from artists from Brooklyn, it's strange because hip-hop has a New York feel to it when you have the popular artists being from New York City and as opposed to being from the South or the West Coast. And the local radio stations supporting New York hip-hop. You know, I haven't seen something like this in a long time, in a long, long time.
Since maybe 03?
Yeah. Since maybe 03, where a new artist came out. Well, so here's the thing that's funny. Nicki's from New York and Cardi's from New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't seem like it's the same. Because they both came to New York, blew up, and then they bounced. They don't live in New York no more. Like, as soon as the bag came and they became superstars, they just left, you know. And I know Cardi reps the DX.
How much credit do we need to give to Chief Keef when it comes to drill music and what him and the Chicago movement has done for the youth of hip hop?
You have to give Chief Keef a lot of credit because when you ask any of these new artists, who did you listen to? They say Chief Keef.
Okay.
The drill, his impact for them when they were coming up, getting into hip hop, he was the popping artist who influenced them. So you can't front on his impact. And we had said this before, though. We had said,
yeah,
Chief Keef.
We said it before. Chief Keef.
You know what I'm saying? So this ain't new. But
Pam,
now
I mean,
what we're seeing is how.
Good.
Now what we're seeing is now how all these people after Chief Keef have come and put their own spin on it, like a Brooklyn version of what
is
he's doing.
Brooklyn biting, though? Are they biting? Let's go there.
No. There's no such thing as biting. I know people want to say
there's
it's biting.
There's no such thing as shark niggas?
Hip-hop.
Is that what you're telling me?
No, there's no such thing as it because it's a trend. In hip-hop, people go a trend. And they follow a flow. For example, me and you talked about it. Ace Hood, Hustle Hard flow. Everybody in hip hop emulated
he's
that
another
flow
one that isn't getting props to me.
Years. Okay? Meek Mills, literally, and no one can dispute this, Meek Mills started rhyming exactly like Ace Hood. Exactly like
Ace Hood.
I think
like a lot of dudes did. I think, wait about Watson.
I
think a lot of dudes took Ace Hood's flow, and he does not get enough
absolutely
props for the flow
no,
he brought to hip hop.
No, he doesn't. And that's what I mean. So in hip-hop, when a flow happens or a style happens, that becomes the sound that everybody uses. So I'm not going to call it biting. I'm just
going
to call it.
I'm going on the regional tip, though, brother. I'm going on a regional tip.
No,
you know
it's not
saying?
Biting. So it's not biting at all. Because
I guarantee you,
Chicago,
I guarantee you there's dudes in Chicago that felt dudes in New York City are buying these stock. Guaranteed they feel it because
and there are people
let's
in the
real
UK. And there are mm-hmm people in London and the UK who feel that they're biting also with their production.
Well, you guys,
that's just
Dave and them dudes.
they're going to believe that they're biting on their production. So I'm telling you it's not biting. I'm telling you it's influence. These are the guys who influenced them. The person who influences you, you sound like. I'm not going to call that biting.
Would we agree that Bobby Shmurda was the first brother that we've seen from Brooklyn? And we keep saying Brooklyn, though. Like, what's going on with the other brothers in New York? Queens? I know the Bronx got Don Q. What's my other brother's name? A Boogie and Lil TJ, right? Those really cats holding on the Bronx. But if you look at Long Island, Staten Island, and Queens, even Harlem, are you shocked that Harlem ain't getting busy? Because it seems like it's Brooklyn. Only borough that's really making noise is BK.
I'm not shocked about Harlem at all.
Really?
In terms, why should I be? Tell me why I should be shocked.
I'm a little bit shocked at Harlem with the ASAP movement because I believe the ASAP movement was so big when it came to the young boys.
I think the ASAP movement was so big and impactful that they're able to just, they're still relevant for their fan base. I think that their fan base, the people who came up with them and liked them, I think they still have their fan base. I'm talking specifically for the youth movement with the young people like.
Right.
It's coming out of BK and it's coming out of the Bronx.
Man, other boroughs get left in the dust, it look like, though, watch, man. I ain't going to hold you, man. Is it saying that the leaders of the new school right now, and you know what's funny? You and I always talk about this off-air, that one thing we admire about the young dudes, fam, they're not standing on the block trying to get a deal or knock on these label doors or standing in front of Def Jam or Atlantic Records or Universal trying to look for a deal or trying to get signed. Everything they're doing right now is from the muscle. I'm talking about Pop Smoke, about 5E, I'm talking about Sosa, I'm talking about all these brothers right now, Chef G, all these young brothers that's making noise right now. It seems like they're not running to go sign the, I don't know if Pop Smoke is signed to a big label, is he? He signed to a big label now?
Yeah, yes he is.
Yeah, we'll see him. Well, look at 5E for a second, Big Drip, right? What you put me on to. That song is from the streets. The streets made out large before the radio, right? Before the label, right?
Absolutely viral. It went viral. It went viral on YouTube. Then you had big artists start playing it in the background of their Instagrams. Then people are like, what songs are you playing? What is this? Then, you know, you find out. But it's organic. And listen, this is going to sound crazy, but I think the greatest thing that happened to New York is when the 90s guys left New York.
Oh, boy.
I think
they're shocked that you're going to say that. But go ahead.
No, I really believe that they would never let the New York movement. When a person finds you, basically they destroy you. How many artists have we seen signed and then never come out and get dropped? With these new guys, they shoot a video when they want, put out songs when they want. They don't have to play any politics, and then the streets decide if they like it or not. When you sign to a label, you know, for example, John Connor signed to Aftermath. I never heard of him again. What happened? What happened? What happened to Vada? Vada, you signed to We the Best.
DJ Khaled.
You know, he put you on a couple of songs, and then what happened? Then you end up having to go back to the streets, you know, doing mixtape stuff.
Doing a song with Benny now. You went from trying to get commercial success. Not doing songs with Benny the Butcher, man. It's crazy, man. Who's the top dudes in New York in your opinion in Brooklyn right now? Who's holding a fourth down in the city?
Pop Smoke and Fabio right now. That's just no question. Those two guys are the most popular dudes in New York City. You know, if you just base it on Funk Flex's, Funk Master Flex's playlist, the top two songs that he plays more than any two songs are Big Drip and Dior. Those are his top two songs.
I got to keep it 100, man. I see Chess, the battle rapper, bring your name up in battle rap in a bar against Arsenal. I see Arsenal playing your song in his whip on IG. Just this morning, I see Surf talking about the hip-hop industry, talking about Jersey, and the conversation was Jersey versus New York. And the first person Surf name brought up, Watts, was 5E. That's the first name he brought up.
Wow.
And stuff. Like, You know what I mean? Like, is Big Drip, do you think he expected Big Drip to be as large as it is?
No. No. You know, he said he knew the formula. And, you know, if you watch his interviews, he said he sat back, he watched what was moving, right? And he said, okay, I see what has to be done. So, you know, he made the song. But, I mean, he couldn't know. Because, like he said, every song I was on, I was rapping with my homies. I didn't have any songs by myself. So,
yeah,
I did Big Drip.
Yeah.
I did Jump In. I did Pop Out. Those are songs off his EP. My man put out a 4-song EP. Like, he did not know. You know what I'm saying? So, the song blew. The song is still blowing up. Labels are running behind him trying to catch up. So, he eventually, of course, he got signed. You know, and that's the thing. A&R suck. Everybody, to me, the hip-hop industry has no idea what's going to be the next hot thing in hip-hop. Which is why...
Yeah, it's hard to make that, it's hard to make that assumption, though, what's going to be the hottest thing right now. It's kind of hard to...
Yeah,
the fans,
remember,
the social media tell you what's hot.
You're right. That's the truth. And the social media is what the what people are listening to, what goes viral, to be honest. So
let's be real, Ross. Social media made Bobby Shmurda large. Let's be real. Once he threw that hat up in the air, my dude, it was a wrap. Once they saw
and
that
did
on
the
social
dance,
media,
but see that
it was over. And the dance.
Right, because remember, that was a Banks verse. That was a Lloyd Banks song.
Banks.
And all he did was just freestyle. He did a freestyle over a Lloyd Banks song. All right? So the beat was heard before. Mm-hmm. But what went viral was the Vine, when they had this app called Vine. The Vine came out, a 6-second, where you just see him throw the hat up and do the dance to that song.
It was a rap.
And that's what took off with him.
Even though the dance is an old Jamaican dance, an old head doing Jamaica, neither here nor there. Bobby Shmurda does have West Indian in him. Let's be clear on that. I was worried about who's going to pop off after Bobby, because it was kind of quiet after Shmurda got locked up. Would you agree with that? Like, after Shmurda and Roddy Rebel got locked up, it felt like the city was looking for the next young talent.
If you're from the Bronx, don't you accept that French Montana is a star and made it big? You got to accept that.
But
French Montana made it.
I don't think French is speaking for the high school kids and the dudes that's the 25 years old. You know what I'm saying? The 26-year-old dudes. I don't think French is speaking to that age group.
I think now, French was popular enough where Votto came out and tried to start rapping like him, because he was the popular guy at the time. And do you acknowledge that French is from the Bronx?
Of course, definitely. We have to.
So we got to acknowledge that French has been, since 2000, French first album came out in what, 2013? His official album?
Even though I thought he was riding Max Taylor's coattail when Max B was out here. But that's neither here nor there. I thought French was. Neither here nor there.
Let me ask you a question. Since you said that Max comes home, so you think Max is going to come out and have the success French Montana had as a solo artist?
You know what, Watts? I'm going to be real. It's so funny asking that question, brother. As much as I like Max, I'm going to have to say no, brother.
I agree with you.
But I don't know if Max is going to have that one song that's going to get him out of here.
I agree with you. Sometimes when people come home, the hip-hop industry isn't what you think it's going to be. It's not going to be as receptive as you think it is going to be to you. High Shine.
High Shine, how you doing, brother?
With the hottest, you went in. When Shine went in, Shine had the hottest song in hip-hop, right? The song with Barrington Levy.
Sidebar. Do we give Shine enough props for his first album as a hip hop community?
No, nobody does. Shine's first album, to me personally, I'm only speaking personally, that is a hip hop classic to me. That is a personal hip hop classic to me. Shine was.
We might have to
revisit
that album one day, brother.
Here's another thing. Shine was 20 years old when he did that album. And yo, Pusha T, he was doing Coke Talk in a crazy way before you. And his Coke Talk on that. It's one of the greatest Coke Talk albums ever, before Pusha T. There's no debating that. You can't even deny that.
But I don't think no one would shine at the table with Pusha with the drug talk, though, Mike.
How? He came out with a coke-themed album.
Yes,
first.
He did. No, I agree.
The pot. Shake the feds. Hold up. You heard the album? When we revisit that album, I'm going to put all the truth out there. Wait till we revisit that album. Because that album is a personal hip-hop classic to me. I remember it like it was yesterday. When we revisit that album and the drug talk and the coke talk on that album, we're going to really have
so
a
discussion.
So let me
ask you this. Why don't they have Shine sitting at the table then with Pusha T and brothers like Jeezy then when it comes to the drug talk?
Because he went to jail out of sight, out of mind. He was 20 years old, and that was it, and he was gone. But that album rang out.
Yeah, I rock with Shine first album. I ain't going front, though. Yeah, I rock with Shine first album. I'm not going front. I rock with Sean Paul, man. I ain't going to hold you, though, man.
Sean Paul.
You know what's funny?
Yo.
You know what's funny, though? Recently, you hit me up, right? And I don't know what epiphany hit you over the head. I've been trying to scream Envy Kane on this show for the last, 2 years? I've been screaming my man Coca Jigga. You hit me one day, this week in fact, I was like, yo, three. I'm rocking with Envy Kane. I had to rub my eyes twice to make sure that was you texting me this, because I couldn't believe all of a sudden you rocking with Coca. What the change of heart in my game's voice, brother? What was the change of heart?
I was just researching all the new Brooklyn MCs, and I'm just going through them. It's impossible. Listen to me when I say this. It is impossible to search new Brooklyn MCs for the last 3 years and not come, of course, Envy Kane. Either Envy Kane interview, an Envy Kane song, or all of the new people rapping about him. And let's be clear. I'm gonna be very clear. You was given Envy Kane props the same time you was given Benny props in 2017. That's a fact. I remember it because we was talking about the best Brooklyn MCs, and I was talking about it was Young M.A. Remember that? I used to say, no, it's Young M.A. I don't want to hear nothing else. So you really have known how good Envy Kane was. I did it. I just didn't hear it because I wasn't listening. But, boy, when I started to listen, Envy Kane is the MC me and you believe a Brooklyn MC should be. How about that?
But here's the problem he has, though, Watts. I agree with you saying, brother. But here's the problem he has. He doesn't do enough drill, man. And I don't think the drill rappers at NY consider him a drill rapper like the rest of them. You think Chef G his attitude also, man, I think that really, like, is he even cool with anybody in Brooklyn that's really making noise? I'm talking about the mood. The Room Shakers right now in BK, is he even cool with those guys where he can get a collaboration with Pop Smoke, 5 of these dudes? Or is he Chef G, any of these brothers? Sleepy Hollow? Any of them?
No. He can't. No. And that's something that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Just like Uncle Murder and Papoose, you're never going to get them on a song together. K-Slade did it with Straight Outta Brooklyn, but he just took their verses. But they never, you know what I'm saying, when they both were coming up hot in the streets, because they beat, they never gave us that music together. You know what I'm saying?
That was some real street MVP, shit right there with Uncle Murda and Papoose the whole head.
That was real, man.
Yo, not for nothing, son. Papoose ain't no sucker out here, yo. He checked Uncle Murda. Remember he checked Max B also at Power 105?
Yes, you think about that. Think about that. He stepped to Max B.
Pat was ready to throw the beats on him.
Yo,
what
you talking about? I heard
you my guy?
He said, yo, I heard,
you
talking about this.
Pat was like, you ready to knock your head off, my dude. I ain't going to hold you, son. For real, man.
Yeah, the Uncle Murder Pat Pooh's beats. To me, Envy Kane. Let me tell you what Envy Kane. Envy Kane is a textbook New York City lyricist who's in the age of drill and different kind of hip hop. He can do drill, but he's not a drill rapper.
I don't like when he does drill.
And you know why he's not a drill rapper? Listen to Talking Spicy 2, him rapping over the Onyx beat.
His Situation series also, he raps up a lot of old school beats that you and I rock with. So, and I think also Watts, what harps him also is his age, believe it or not.
So here's the thing about his age, though. When you put me on to him, he was only 23. So he was young.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 26 now, but when you put me on him, when he did the first Talking Spicy, he was 23. So it's not like he's some old nigga. He, you know, Envy Kane is, if you like him in bars, I'm going to just say this. If you like him in bars and you like him nigga spit rhymes, that's what Envy Kane does. But Envy Kane, you know, he's one of the ill spitters.
Is he being, let's go ahead, man. Is he being lapped? Are all the dudes in Brooklyn lapping him?
Other dudes in Brooklyn are more popular than him, of course. And he understands
man,
that.
Man, fuck that, man. Pop Smoke, Envy Okoka, you my man. And, like, watch this. I've been riding with you for 3 years, brother. But I'm going to be real with you. I heard about you before a lot of these dudes, brother. And in the last year, it's a change. In 2020, it might get dark for you, brother. If you don't do something and make a move right now, because the way Pop Smoke and Five Yo, these way these brothers are moving out here, doing songs with Rich the Kid, all these banner rappers bigging up in their bars and all that, playing their music on their live. Pop Smoke riding in Brooklyn, the Bugatti's with Travis Scott in the Junction. Like, come on, fam. I don't mean to be this guy. Even the jewelry game, son. Like, okay, you see what's going on Pop Smoke's neck, bro? Like, come on, fam. Like, Pop Smoke just dropped a song with Travis Scott. And, like, watch told me, you know, it's Travis Scott's song. But damn, it's not like Pop Smoke featuring Travis Scott. Like, Pop Smoke dominated
Axel
that song. He did.
Axel Beats produced it. Pop Smoke goes first. You clearly know this was a Pop Smoke song that Travis Scott got on. It's obvious. Because it's clear. That's no diss to Travis Scott, but this is a Pop Smoke song that Travis Scott got on and made it and took it out of his. Think about the look Travis Scott gave him. This joint is at almost 5 million in 4 days?
Five million?
Do you know Travis Scott brought his fan base to Pop Smoke? This is a clear example. And this is something that when you say he lapped and became. It's stuff like that where there's nothing, there's literally nothing Envy Kane can do about that. When the biggest rapper in hip hop in America is giving you a look like that, there's nothing you can do. You know what I'm saying? I just think what he should do is not focus on his beef with Fabio and Pop Smoke, not focus, like he can't stay on that because that means every time people interview him, they're going to ask him, yo, what you think about the success of Pop Smoke and Fabio? And if that's what he's going to be known for, he'll be lapped over and over again. So now Coca got to put out that music. He just got to let his music talk for him. Let his talent fight through this.
I agree with that. But did they also heard him also that the fact that people were saying that he was the one that put the video out with Pop Smoke getting punched when he's a shorty. Did I hear them also when people were looking
that
at him
hurt,
like a hater?
Not only did that hurt, it hurt that he put it to start off Wu K Part 2. He played the video and then added sound effects to it. You know what I'm saying? So I think if you look at a video, an interview he did recently with these two sisters,
I seen the one you sent it to me. I watched that. Sidebar, though. Y'all sisters, man. Y'all got to work better on y'all questions, man. All right, continue, though.
Agreed. But in that interview, compare that to his Mel TV interviews or his Zach TV interviews and compare his energy in this interview. What is his energy in this interview with them two girls in terms of how he's talking? It was no spicy talk, was there?
Yeah, because around the females, you're not going to really talk extra spicy when you're running around with Mel's TV and Ebbets Field. And, Coco, here's another thing, man. Every time I see you in Ebbets Field, why are you not in Brownsville doing interviews, bro? Like, you're from the Ville, and I don't ever think I've ever seen you interviews in the Ville. Maybe I'm bugging or reaching, but every time I see him, he was in Ebbets Field with the Blickies and all these cats. Like, damn. I don't know, man. Coco's my guy, man. And like you said, he has to let the talent speak because, let's be real, I think he's talented than a lot of these dudes. Even the dudes that I feel that's lapped him, I think he's more talented than them. But they're winning right now, musically.
Not only they, he's a lyricist. He's a true school lyricist in the age of let's have fun. and be lit.
Yeah, but I think there's room for dudes like him that can rap. There's room for him.
From Brooklyn, he's coming out now that where the sound in Brooklyn is drill and it's fun and it's get lit. And he is a lyrical dude.
Sky Zoo gets busy. Troy Avers never the lyrical dude, but he still kept the NYC. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna tell you this. I think Envy Kane keeps it 1,000% Brooklyn. I think he keeps it so Brooklyn. I don't know if you can be more Brooklyn than Envy Kane.
I don't know if
he
keeps
raps.
It Brooklyn, man. No disrespect to my South brothers, but he bigs up the more South artists than New York artists. Heavy.
I'm talking about if you listen. No. He talks about who he listens to. If you listen to him, if you listen to Talking Spicy, could you know that Gucci Mane was his favorite artist? Would you?
No.
Could you even compare?
No.
Would you even know that?
Nope.
He says, "I like trap shit because it's street stuff." This is his words. I like trap stuff because it's street stuff. But in terms of hearing him rhyme, this dude comes from the school. Come on, man. He's a dead nice MC, man. Bad, stupid nice. Listen, you've been trying to tell me about Envy Kane since 2017.
Yes, son, but I'm watching dudes like Chef G,
now I get it.
Sleepy Hollow, even Chef G, man. Like, fam, he took No Suburban and got him out of here. He took 22 G's song, Suburban. And I'm sorry, 22 G's. No disrespect, man, but I like No Suburban way more than the original song that you got, fam. Shout out to my girl, Kimolosa, crazy-ass Kimolosa. I got to keep it real. I like Chef G's joint more. Oh, I ain't gonna front though. That shit is more. It's hard though, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing Chef G IG doing signing posters and people are listening to his music going crazy. Like,
yeah, I'm seeing his show. People going crazy at the show.
And Andy Kane said in that same interview you put me on to about the sisters and stuff. Fam, they literally said in that interview where he can't do shows at NYC.
I know. And he said
he'd
get more love out of state.
In Connecticut, Boston, like, that's his own. I think he plays a part in that also. He has to do the man in the mirror, Michael Jackson, man in the mirror, man up and be like, yo, fam, have I hated on too much New York artists? And do you feel that there should be more camaraderie with these Brooklyn artists?
I think there's a lot of camaraderie. A lot of camaraderie. It's just that on his side, with his team, they happen to be beefing with all the hot dudes who are now making it. So it seems like there's no unity. But if you look on the other side, dude, there's nothing but unity. There's nothing but unity.
Yeah, because I think Fabio and Pop Smoke, they're pretty much cordial with each other, right? They're cool with each other. Sosa's and cool with Fabi, the video together and all that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, man.
It is what it is, man. What do you think about Shane Norman dropping her mixtape in January? The next couple of weeks, I believe.
I'm very looking forward to it. When we did our year end, we gave so much props to. I'm going to tell you what I like about what he's not trying to have Shay Noor do what Megan Thee Stallion is doing. You know what I'm saying? The path that 38 Special is doing with Shay Noor is the path I wanted Miss Hustle to be on because she's a dead nice MC.
Mm-hmm.
Except that wasn't the path she wanted to be on. She didn't like that path. She wanted to be on the Get Lit Fun path.
I thought Kay Slade was doing a good thing.
I did too, man. I would love, to know what happened with that, man. I would love to know what happened with that. So I like that special.
Really? I bet it's creative control with Hustle and Kay Slade. I bet it was that.
Okay. He probably, because here's the thing. Kay Slade, here's what I hear with her, though. She's dead nice. She can go ball for ball with all the dudes. So he put her with all the ill rhyming dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Did she have songs with Vado and Raekwon and shit like that? Hold up. Did she have songs with Vado and Raekwon?
Davies.
Like
he put her with all the spitters.
And the thing is, I don't think that's what she liked, because that's not what the youth want to hear.
Yeah, she kind of wanted to cater to the young people more than us old heads.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to appeal to the crowd that listens to that kind of music. You know what I'm saying? That young crowd is not trying to say, yo, man, that song with Joe Baquan is crazy. You know what I'm saying? They're not saying that.
Right, but
with Spesh, I like that he got Shay No Rhyme with Spitters, man. He put her with Ransom with the first single. And, you know,
Spesh
had a relationship with Ransom.
Good to see Ransom come outside and show us a little, get on his 1-2. You know what I mean?
Well,
I hope we get more Ransom in 2020.
This shows you how much respect Ransom has for 38 Spesh. The last three plot songs I've ever heard Ransom on are with 38.
Yeah.
Two with 38 Spesh, one with Shay Noir. So that shows you the nigga who gives Ransom to come outside is 38 Spesh, because he respects 38 Spesh. Just like me and you do.
Right. Right. Did you see the tweet that Royce da 5'9" said about our guy RJ Payne?
I was so happy to see that. And I feel
that was
good. Let me just say this. I feel validated. The reason why I feel validated, because remember, I've been telling you, I said, what does RJ Payne do to me? I said, he gives me that Papoose lyrical feel from 04 to 07. You remember that run he was on, right?
Yeah.
And RJ Payne is a lyricist. Royce da 5'9" is an all-time great lyricist, one of the greatest ever. He hears it. He bought RJ Payne's entire catalog. He paid over $300. He went digitally and bought the man's entire catalog and said, I want to support real hip-hop. I really, really respected that. And all of a sudden, Royce, I see you want to talk hip-hop now, so you know what to do. Come on this side. Be outside. Come on this side, man, so you can have a – so for the first time, you can have a real hip-hop conversation. Because you just now bought RJ Payne. We could talk to you about that.
He was shout out to Crooked Eye right quick, though. Wasn't he on Crooked's Corner? He did some drama.
Absolutely. Shout out.
It's good to see that.
No question.
It's good to see that, though. I'm looking forward to Shano's project, though, man. I'm really looking forward to that. We're setting off 2020. You know what I mean?
Well, 2020 is going to get set off crazy because it's Shano and Royce is coming out this month. So that's already it's a lyricism set off. It's a set off. Wait a minute.
Royce
projects. What about Royce?
The only concerns I have is that he's doing the bulk of the production, and I'm not used to hearing Royce behind the boards. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic is going to work with him doing production.
Are you looking forward to Uncle Murder's Don't Come Outside Volume 2? He got Griselda all over.
Yes, I am. Very much so. In fact, I'm going to be real. I'm looking forward to Uncle Murder more than maybe the other projects you're talking about. Sorry, Royce. Sorry, Shay.
You looking forward to it more than Shay Noir?
Just because I like the ignorant stuff that Uncle Murder brings to the table, man. That's all. You know what I mean? That's all.
So 2020 is being set off lovely. We're getting those three projects this month. Dogs, when we review them,
and they're
this
all
is going to be great. We got three albums to review that, no question, we're going to enjoy doing it. Like, we're going to enjoy going song for song because we the illest niggas doing it until we proven wrong.
Well,
y'all know that.
That's a fact.
Everybody know that.
I would say this, though. I'm wondering, are these three projects, when we talk about them, are they going to be albums that we're going to be rocking with for the rest of the month of January, going into February, and moving forward? I'm hoping that's the case.
Well, Spesh came out in January of last year, and he ended up being my number one album. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gorilla Glue came out in February, and that was like my number three. So it lasted all year. So if these projects are fire, it'll last. You know what I'm saying? And
I'm hoping we're getting a Stabbing Shot Part 2 this year. I'm praying we get a Stabbing Shot Part 2.
Boy.
And a side project. I want.
Interesting. I would like to get a side project just to see where he's going with it. I definitely agree. Now, Benny put out a tweet. You're right.
Benny put out a tweet where he said
it's over for rappers in 2020. Does that mean Tana Talk 4?
I would think so. I would think Tana Talk 4 is coming out this year. I would think that very much so.
Benny has two projects that he can't lose with: Tana Talk 4 and
Stabby Shot
2. If that's all he put out in 2020, that's another. Those are can't miss. Let me just give you a guarantee: Stabby Shot 2 is a guaranteed classic. Guaranteed. It can't be ruined. It can't be messed up.
But
with no guarantee.
Hold on. Before you go in there, are the hip hop heads? Are they going to be trying to compare this to part one? Because you know that's going to be the talk. They're going to try to compare part two to part one. You know that. Whether it's fair or not.
And that's fine. That's fine. Or they're going to hear the same thing. They're going to hear two dope MCs bodying every beat.
I'm praying that it's dope. And I'm praying they have the same production. With Rick Hyde, I believe, Trippy Beats.
Spence might produce some of the joints, man.
I want to balance, though. I ain't gonna lie. I do want to balance. And I hope RJ Payne is on there. I hope Conway is on there. It'll be interesting to see how many features they have. The Styles people have to be on there. You know, Styles rock with those brothers heavy and stuff. But I'm looking forward, man.
I want
these three projects we're getting this year. That's dope. I mean, Special. Royce, Shaynor. Yeah, I'm here for that.
I want to address something Westside Gunn said that made so much sense when he was on Rap Radar. He was like, how is hip hop media saying TDE and Dreamville had a better 2019 than Griselda? How?
I don't mean to be this guy. No shade, no disrespect to those camps, Watts. But I thoroughly disagree with that. Hardcore, man. Hard body karate, I disagree with that. I don't think Dreamville, my guys, no disrespect to y'all, but y'all know how much we love hip-hop over here, man. If me and Watson, from the both of us, I didn't review that album. Watson didn't have that in his honorable mentions. We didn't have it in our top tens. We barely spoke about the Dreamville album. I listened to it twice. It didn't really do too much for me. It was too much dudes in the kitchen. At one time, it's too much dudes in the kitchen, man. There's way too much people in the kitchen, man, chefing this album up. You feel me? I do not think they had a better year than Griselda. TDE, I love y'all like cook food, man, even though I'm not the biggest Schoolboy Q fan. Absol, you haven't dropped a project yet. That's going to really stand out to us. Shout out to J-Rock, though, because in 2018, if you go back to listen to me and Watson's recap of our favorite albums of 2018, we did give J-Rock his flowers, though, and give J-Rock his props. For that album that he dropped in 2018, though, which is a very slept on project, in my opinion, man, that J-Rock project. And Kendrick, I didn't like the damn project.
Kendrick has not dropped since 2017. One of our first shows and the first albums we ever reviewed was the damn album. He has not dropped an album since then. He dropped that Black Panther soundtrack, and at that time, that's when white people decided Kendrick Lamar was the greatest MC of all time, and they started giving him every Grammy. They gave him the Songwriter of the Year. You got people get PhDs in hip-hop history, and they study Kendrick Lamar. You got people on Twitter who are telling me Kendrick Lamar is the Chuck D of this generation. So Kendrick Lamar.
I don't want to say the Chuck D, though. I don't want to do
of
that.
Of course it's not Chuck D, man. It's not even close.
I don't want to do that.
Think about that. When I say Kendrick Lamar is not Chuck D, people are in shock because for the last 10 years, Kendrick is like, they're whatever you supposed
listen,
to be.
Listen, I love my dude. To Pimp a Butterfly was a classic to me. I'm going to keep it real. That's probably the last five of my album, well, besides Tana Talk 3. But that's one of my favorite albums besides Tana Talk 3 that dropped. I love To Pimp a Butterfly. I know people love Section 80 and all that from Kendrick and other Kendrick projects. But I feel uncomfortable giving Kendrick the Chuck D reference. I feel very uncomfortable doing that. No, Night of the Bliss and Bassheads. Can't trust it. Fight the Power Movement. Burn Hollywood, burn. No, I got a letter from the government. Nah, I can't do that. Fear of a Black Planet? No. Like, we're talking about Fear of a Black Planet. It takes a million. Like, nah, son. You can't do that.
Do they understand I got a letter from the government? Do they know what that song was? Like, come on, man.
Yes.
These are powerful hip hop songs, man.
Man,
we
look at Chuck
know.
D like I'm Malcolm X of hip hop, man. Like, I can't. I don't look at Kendrick like that.
Here's the thing. You, Pimp a Butterfly is a classic to you. Why do you think prominent writers are calling, saying he's the Chuck D of this generation? Why people are majoring? My sister told me that people who major in hip hop, Kendrick Lamar is what they write their final paper on. Like, this is how he's looked at. So I'm asking you.
To be fair, he has a balance, though, Watts. I'm not going to front, like, because a lot of songs, especially to Pimp a Butterfly, other songs he has, he's talking about the black struggle and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's why they look at certain songs that he has. Chuck D, though? Self-Destruction verse? Like, I don't know, man. That's why I can't do that. And that's no shade to Kendrick at all. I just can't put him. Because both of us are outside, like, I can't do that. He ain't talking to two niggas that wasn't outside when Chuck D was making Moving and Shaking and doing Shut Him Down Remix with P-Rock and all that. Nah, but I can't, can't do it. Love Kendrick, though. But Kendrick, I do want to hear some music, though, brother, like, for real, fam. Like, can we get some music, bro? Like Watson said, we haven't talked about a project for me from 2017, bro. That's crazy. And I would love to hear Joe Budden drop an album. Or give me something in 2020. Not saying it's going to happen. I just wish he would drop a project. I think it's the best time for Joe Budden to drop music. I've been saying this for the last 2 years. He can just drop music. And probably get more success dropping music than he did now than he did when me and you were listening to him. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Isn't Drake dropping a project this year?
Joe Budden enjoys his fame, he enjoys his fortune, and he's making more money doing this than he ever made with hip hop. And
that's
he's prioritizing his love of money. He's prioritizing his love of money over his love of the art form of hip hop. This you can describe it.
I got a question if Joe Budden even likes hip hop like that.
I don't.
Like,
I don't.
He loves hip-hop.
Now, I need to ask you something, because I didn't do the I didn't hear it. Did Joe Budden say something about Benny never dropping any project better than Dreamville?
I didn't listen to that yet, because I saw somebody say on social media that that's not true, that's not what Joe said. So I don't want to say that he did that, though.
If I
would
saw
be
that,
shocked
but then the dude
if put... Joe said that.
Now, you want me to tell you something? I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked. His mindset is all mainstream. His mindset is mainstream. He always talks about how much he likes Cole and, you know. Like, people feel like they have to act like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I don't go to Joe Budden Podcast to get my hip-hop takes, my hip-hop reviews.
Yo. Yeah, my bad. My phone had the thing back. My phone had the thing by accident. My bad. I'm back.
All right.
What you saying now, brother?
No, I was saying I don't go to Joe Budden Podcast to get my hip hop information. Hip hop news.
Me neither. But you know what's funny though? At the time when we knew he dropped on the podcast, and I remember you and I interviewed Joe at the time, I thought we were gonna get more hip hop talk from him, right? I don't know how you feel now. And we interviewed him back in 2017.
I did. I thought we would get a hip hop guy who talks hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing. The Joe Budden on the Joe Budden Podcast is not the Joe Budden from the mixtape era.
No.
This man clearly comes from an era where he gapped with every underground MC you can think of. So I know he
there was a time he knew about all of this. I think he's at the point, man, that's the last thing on his mind. So, there you have it.
Well, take us home, my G.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of Coca Jigga. Top Ah.
Coca Jigga.
And the Kane. PSA Hip Hop, the home of Talking Spicy 1, Talking Spicy 2, the home of the Situation series. You listen to that, then you listen to PSA Hip Hop.
Look, this nigga Vinny's rocking with Envy Kane now, and I've been trying to get this brother to rock a Coca for 3 years, man. It's your boy 3 and Watts, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. Y'all know the vibes, man. What?